I'm Jaco Voigt, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled Boost, a series specifically created to boost businesses in South Africa by letting passionate and committed business people share their stories. In this episode, we're chatting about mining technology, we're chatting about technology in extreme underground environments, and how it can aid proactive decision-making in complex and cost-intensive environments. We're also chatting about Spot the Robot. I'm honored to be joined by Jamie van Schoor, Managing Director from Dwaeka Mining Services. Jamie, welcome.
Jaco, it is great to be on your show. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you very much. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. And good morning to your listeners. I trust we're going live. And about myself, passionate about technology. I think the journey that happened in technology was around my wanting to change mindsets and wanting to make a real change, loving experimentation. So around experimenting with new things, new technologies, new landscapes, new environments. I think that was an allure. So that's kind of what jumped me in from a family business involved in underground mining exposure. A passion for data. So we really like differentiate between good data and great data. And that came from some exposure in the research and research environment when I started my career. And then to develop skills. I think that's been a thing that's been close to my heart as a South African and African, is really we have such an amazing intellectual base, and creating opportunities for people to develop has been close to my heart, and I've had this fantastic opportunity to use Dwaeka to fulfill most of those objectives, which has been a great journey so far.
Excellent. That's quite a nice intro. So let's jump right into it. So what does Dwaeka Mining Services do?
So Dwaeka Mining Services is a Pan-African technology platform that focuses primarily on mining technology with a focus on human plus machine. So we help our clients adopt and adapt to an evolving landscape where technology is used to either, or most often, create a safer working environment, at the same time create opportunities to be more efficient. So that's taken us around across the continent, primarily focused on visualization, so technologies for remote sensing, software platforms that allow us to get a better picture of an environment, to make better, quicker decisions. And what it's led to is this evolution from selling software in the visualization space to integrating devices onto that software. The problem there was that we had these devices, we couldn't connect them on an infrastructure. We were talking about connectivity earlier. Getting the data from the most challenging environments is the key. And you normally always want that information from where you can't get it. So we developed that part of the business as a vertical, which is our data vertical, our second D. A big part of it was this display and designing the interface we use. So much of what we do today centers around a screen and an ability to make sense from this picture. And getting this picture in front of a mining team that speaks up to 11 languages in this country, a meeting of the minds, is exactly what we started this business out to do. So when you get a picture in front of everyone can align, there's no contestation, there's no ego, it's just about the visual. And then a deployment team that has grown to support this platform. Now we employ 30 people in our South African business with learnerships, learning the ropes. We've got a platform in Botswana that's growing quickly, another business that's growing in Tanzania, all under the Dwaeka Mining Services Group umbrella. And with aspirations to get into West Africa and start Palavu in Francais as well. So it's been a wild ride.
It's fantastic. And then how did the business start? How did it come about?
So I jumped out of a rights management and sponsorship career into family business with the ambition to create a succession plan for a business called Terramin, which focuses on delivering air to the face of most underground African mines. That family succession plan shifted, and I adopted the visualization platform that was called Ventsim. That was just as one software platform that we started growing the value-added services around. And as the technology words like IoT and digital twins started happening, we were on the front foot for about 4 or 5 years already doing this. And adopting and adding to Dwaeka was the next step in that journey for us. So it started out as like a visualization platform, and has grown to be a multidisciplinary, multi-channel multi-device, canvas for mining technology, specifically ones that are from overseas, a lot of Canadian, Australian, American, European technologies that are wanting to unlock value in Africa. And they approach us and we either canvas them for a solution that we're trying to deliver for our clients, and we help them deploy that in Africa, and with the ultimate goal to embed that technology, because there's lots of flashy tech, but unless the flashy tech is embedded in an organization and delivers an ROI, it really is a nice to have. So we that's kind of our mantra, is to embed technologies. And it's a holistic human plus machine journey. You know, we always joke that people say, "Ah, technology," and I'll preempt your question about technology taking jobs. What we see is that, you know, the technology arrives in a box. You still have to get the human to unwrap it, to unbox it, to use it, to implement it, and to embed it. So that's where our teams have, and my team's been amazing at assisting and handholding and supporting that adoption on MineSight.
So if I'm now a brand new mining customer, what would you typically come and do for me?
So I think the first thing we always start out is either we canvassing, or a client approaches us. We're fortunate to have developed a reputation of being able to solve complex problems in complex environments. So in the event that a client like yourself said, "I have a problem," it's really getting an idea of what that user requirement looks like. What is it that we're trying to solve? What are we trying to improve? What's going wrong? We say, "Where are you bleeding?" And to kind of carry with a health analogy, is it, or where are you bleeding and why are you bleeding? So let's go find out why. And then generally, once we've scoped that out and we've got an idea of what the problem is and what the linked upstream and downstream possibilities are, we look for a technology partner if it's not within our stack already. And we do have quite a broad stack that solves already a lot of these problems. We'll go to market and find it, canvas it, test it ourselves, kick it around our R&D test lab, make sure it can last the blast. We throw it, we kick it, and then we say, "Cool, now we think it's maybe ready for mining." And then we say to our clients, "Cool, do you want to run a proof of concept?" And of course, they're invested in that success, so they do. And we generally run a proof of concept, and more often than not, it's successful on what we're trying to set to achieve, and then that delivers the data that they can use for better decision making. And so, that's essentially how it evolves from there.
So you're talking about these harsh environments and last the blast. So give us an idea. Typically, how far? I assume it's all underground, or the bulk of it's underground. How far do you go?
Yeah, no, it's someone once said, "Oh, my office's aircon is just so cold today," and I suddenly think of my team that is sometimes down at 4 kilometers at Harmony's and Penang miners, up to 4 kilometers underground. So next time you go on a 4 kilometer jog around the block, think about taking that vertical distance and
straight down
towards the center of the earth. So that's if you take a visual, if you're on top of Table Mountain and you look down to Clifton Beach, that's a kilometer. Times that by 4, jeez, that's where most of our technology is now proven to work. So yeah, it's we talk about the 4 D's: the deep, the dark, the dirty, and the dangerous. And another couple of D's with our Dwyker business, so that I can remember them, so because I'm Dorf. But it's those environments are, sorry, the technologies in those environments have to be able to lever those constraints, and that's really where our clients who are like to kick the tires want to make sure that the tech's going to deliver. And often we have to sell to those constraints, because most technology isn't developed and tested on a test bench at 4 kilometers, where it's, you ask about 70-80% humidity, it can be 36 degrees, it's hot, and it's, if you have a fear of confined space, I mean, the newer trackless mines are much larger, but the old conventional mines are tight and can be quite uncomfortable. So yeah, we'll talk about spot later, but this is where, we've almost come full circle, where we've been doing so much trackless work with drones, where we have lots of space, and now coming back to a South African environment where we're having to unlock value in conventional mines, where we are literally having to crawl under 1.5 meter high stoping heights. And just if you ever visit our office, we've got this door in the middle of our office that you have to duck under. And that door is 1.5 meters high. And everyone asks me, what's this door for? And why do we have this small little door? And I said to them, when we're in the comfort of our own office that's air conditioned, we get to, we must remember that we're actually selling to our mining clients. You have to duck under deck under 1.5 meter sloping height. So just remember who we're selling to and what we're doing here.
I like that. That's amazing. So you mentioned Spot now. So let's talk about Spot. What is Spot?
So Spot is a quadruped robotic dog. It's our new best friend at Dwaeker Mining Services. For those of you that follow any kind of social media, you would have seen a yellow robotic dog probably dancing around a football field or an open field, or you would have seen him on Jimmy Fallon's most recent late night interview, where Spot made an appearance and did a dance for the audience. But I mean, on the industrial side, Spot has been a ground robotics tool for us. We have been flying underground drones and GPS denied drones for the last 2.5 years. And
underground drone. Wait, I've just got to stop you there. Just underground drone.
Yeah, so if you know a little bit, if you've flown hobby drones, you would know that you have to connect to satellites on surface to be able to orientate it.
Yeah.
The problem in an underground mine is that there's no satellites.
Definitely not 4 kilometers down.
No, I mean, excitingly today, timing-wise, we just launched our HoverMap ST, which is our partner from Brisbane, Australia. And they use a LiDAR sensor that's mounted on a DJI drone. And we are able to use that LiDAR sensor to create a protective mesh or bubble around the drone, so we can operate that in a GPS-denied environment. So we send them into tunnels, into big voids, into open space. And because it can navigate autonomously, it can also using the LiDAR sensor to map and create a 3D point cloud. And these 3D point clouds, or another buzzword for the listeners, that's digital twin, is what we come back with. And those digital twins are from places that you could never paint a picture. So I remember the first time we did the scan, it was in Kibali at Barrick Gold's mine in the DRC. We watched this drone fly in, disappear, come back. And for that 1 or 2 minutes, doesn't sound like a long time, but for 2 minutes, we all held our breath.
I can only imagine. You send it from the surface, it goes down.
You actually send it from an access drive into this big, large cavity, which you can't really see because there's no lights. So LiDAR operates in no light. So you just see that the green and red lights of the drone disappear. It came back, it landed. And with that, we had this 3D point cloud of a big hole in the ground that was 100 meters high, 50 meters wide, and 40 meters deep. That normally takes 4 or 5 hours to scan. We did it in 4 minutes.
Wow.
So that kind of accelerated data are the kind of things that excite us, because it unlocks value for our humans on mine to be able to start doing the important things, like using the data instead of capturing the data. So like coming back to Spot, is that now we get into a South African environment, we don't have these large tunnels, we don't have these large stopes, but our mining clients in sub-Saharan Africa, where you're mining on reef and narrow vein mines, they need to get the data in unsupported territories, or at least unsupported areas. And that's where we can't fly the drone, because it's limited by the hanging height and this bubble that I talked about earlier. So yeah, is where we're wanting to send Spot in. So Spot in the mining industrial side, we've got like a little bit of a mantra going. We're saying it's no-go areas. So we're wanting to send Spot into areas that humans shouldn't be going because of either hazardous environments, unsupported gas. You know, these environments that are often mined aren't always suitable for humans. So we want to send Spot into these no-go areas. We also want to send Spot into fly low. So we're able to navigate where we can't do the drone. So where there's tight areas, where there's potentially a fall of ground for a first responder in case of an emergency. You know, Spot can take 14 kilograms of payload. So I mean, you could literally put 14 liters of water and send it into a place to aid in a search and rescue, for example. And then the other one is to create flow. So it's the three mantras that rhyme nice and easy, like no go, fly low, and create flow. So the flow side of it is kind of more the repeatability and the scan on scan intelligence. So you can imagine if you had, and we don't even have to use the mining side there, we can use some of the industrial clients we're speaking to. They want to scan a design or scan a plant in a step-by-step process, so they can look on previous day versus today, and they can look at those changes and differences. And because they can almost like, it's like it looks like an X-ray effect, you can see that if there's deviations, if there's a mistake or a problem that we can identify early, because going back once concrete is poured is much more difficult to do if you're doing it 3 weeks after.
Yeah,
so we those are the create flow. So We're wanting to put payloads on Spot, like cameras and scanners and acoustic sensors, basically the eyes and ears of Spot. You can imagine the analogy of the dog again, is that dogs hear better, see better. the same applies in this robotic dog that we now call our own. We can send Spot to listen for gas leaks, for bearings that are moving that we can't hear. And it literally heat maps them. So we can visually see the hearing on Spot with a payload like Fluke's V360 acoustic centro. So that's one of the things. And then infrared, I mean, we can only see the wavelengths we can see in the human eye. You know, as soon as we start putting payloads with infrared and a 50 optical zoom, you can do some amazing things at distance and still identify some predictive failures or that you wouldn't have been able to see otherwise. So Spot is creating this unprecedented platform to deliver and collect data that we previously could not get our hands on safely. So that's essentially where it's augmenting human effort in mining and industrial applications.
And I assume from a South African perspective, that's pretty new tech. Or are there a lot of people doing stuff like this?
Yeah, so I think ground robotics is not a new thing. So there's been lots of tracked robots, and there's some really amazing businesses actually out of South Africa. There's an amazing business, you should look up, One World. They have an office in South Africa, but they're sending robots to Mars and the moon. So, I mean, if you think your strategy was is ambitious, log into oneworld.ai or .io, I can't remember what it is, and have a look at what they're doing. But yeah, ground robotics, not a new thing. I think what is new from is the commercialization of this four-legged dog. So tracked robots, essentially like a tank having a track, have its limitations in mining based on the conditions that you'd have to walk. So think about mud, loose gravel. Spot has this amazing perception capability to be able to move and adapt as it steps. It's actually using the sensor as it places its foot to decide what to do once it puts its foot down. So it's actually testing the soil, kind of like when they're stalking. You can, you know, like when you see a lion, it actually sometimes like it actually moves the ground before it puts its foot down, so it doesn't make a noise when it stalks. Something similar to Spot. But yeah, it's from a South African perspective, technology adoption in our experience has been slightly slower. I think it's been a result of economic aspects and being always subject to the rand's volatility. We are external business outside of South Africa has adopted drones again more quickly, but again they've also had the trackless environment, so we're hoping that Spot's going to be able to unlock the value that a lot of trackless mines have had the privilege of using drones, and now again like a payload partner like CoverMap, which is a LiDAR sensor, to do the same in these underground mines as well. So yeah, it's about having this platform and then really being experimenting with payloads, which is really going to be the exciting part of this year, specifically as we go on a roadshow of Spot, seeing what we can come up with on the back of Spot.
And how big is Spot if you had to compare it now to a dog? I almost said a human dog, but
it's bigger than you think. No, I mean, I remember unboxing it, and we waited quite a long time. We waited for batteries to get shipped. You can't air freight the batteries, so we got Spot and we didn't have batteries. We had to wait for the batteries to come in. So it was quite an anticipation. But Spot is much bigger than you anticipate. It stands a meter off the ground, essentially. So it weighs like 33 kilos. It's you know, half a meter wide. It's about a meter long, and its standing height is 840. So 840 mils. So you and with the payload, it's about 1.2. So it's probably a large dog. I wouldn't say a Great Dane, but it's
sounds like a Boer Bull.
A border collie, maybe a Boer Bull. Maybe that would be a nice South African analogy. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the other thing that obviously Spot, we talked about. You know, how does it look? You know, what can we do with it? You know, it's fully this enterprise robot that we launched last year at Gold Reef City. It has full capability to connect over Wi-Fi. It's a smart dog. It's got full capability to do that. We test wireless capability. We ensure that our clients have the coverage they need so they can run these auto walks or these missions. We essentially Spot's able to look for a QR code called a fiducial, and we program these walks so that they can happen autonomously or they can happen randomly, like in a security application, which we are having a number of those discussions in South Africa around doing perimeter walks at random times. Obviously the cameras and even a microphone, you can even create a dialogue between Spot and a person if it comes across them. You know, the AI features are obviously there that are being developed by a number of partners. If you log onto Boston Dynamics website, you'll see a host of partners and integration platforms that are now jumping on the back of a very user-friendly API that is now available to anyone that is keen to code anything on it. So yeah, I think The other thing that's unique about the spot is that you have to feed dogs. So
and people.
Kind of like a grudge thing these days, people. But you have to feed dog. You have to feed spot is electricity, and it's got a docking station. So now you can actually offload. You can charge spot on its little kennel or its little docking station, and you can set up docks along the way. So you can literally have. I mean, I think it's got up to 90 minutes runtime. Arguably 60 to be conservative, to make sure you have buffer time on the scan, etc. But you could send spot and come back and charge again for up to an hour comfortably. So there's lots of and then you could do that in series if you had enough docks as well. So you can start thinking that in a renewables plant for O&M, for operations and maintenance, you could be utilizing spot to do a whole series of things in the day, like scanning panels and transformers, etc. And at night you could be running security. And that's what I'm excited about Spot. I'm excited about Spot because you can take time off the shelf. So in the mining application, for example, we have this, when we blast, we drill and blast, we drill a hole, we put dynamite or explosives in it, and we advance 3 meters. But during the time after the blast, we can't put people there. It also takes us in a deep level gold mine, sometimes an hour to get people out. So if you're talking about an hour up and an hour down, how can we use Spot that doesn't even compete with anyone on the planet that's a human to do 2 hours of work while we are getting out of the mine or getting in? So that time on the shelf, if you start adding up 2 hours a day over a year, what can we be scanning? Massive. What can we be making safer? What can we be helping our clients to produce more efficiently? That's where I start getting really excited, because you're not competing. There's no discussion around what jobs are we taking. It's actually just making it more safe and more efficient.
Tell me quickly, and how rough is the terrain that is Spot primarily inside? Or I mean, you mentioned security. Now I was thinking, can you let Spot loose on a game farm, for example?
So we have. I told you we have this office in Tanzania. So the idea is to do a battery drop as a roadshow from Cape Town. You might see Spot on the top of Table Mountain soon, by the way.
Okay.
Maybe I'll invite you for the hike, Jaku, if you're keen.
I'll be keen, yes. And, as long as I don't have to carry Spot, it sounds like he's quite heavy.
Well, that would be the idea, not to carry Spot, but to go from Cape to Tanzania to launch Spot in the East African partners that we represent. But that journey, obviously, the reason I say is we want to take it to the Serengeti and one of those things, and just see, Spot with some spots on, if it blends into its new environment. But I think there's definitely applications in nature and environment. Again, this whole like security side of things, as well as digital terrain capture. So we have this this idea about scanning and mapping routes that people don't necessarily or can't necessarily access. They're in a wheelchair, that they can't get to site for financial reasons, but you kind of prejudice them by those stands. Can we map routes that people can take virtual reality walks up Table Mountain, for example, and experience nature? So we want to use Spot as this this advocate to mapping and to creating visuals where you didn't think that, where it could excite people. And I think that's, funny enough, what Spot for me, and I have two daughters, we invited them to the launch. The one-year-old loved it, and they was freaked out by it because it was almost bigger than her. But Grace is fascinated with how it moves. And when you put Spot in a room, there's this, everyone draws back, and then they start smiling, because it does bring the sense of excitement. And I think that's the thing that excites us as a business and our deep tech business, which is focused on non-mining, around what else can we be exciting our clients with? What can we be doing for them that takes their heavy burden or some heavy lifting out of their role, so they can maybe spend more time with their families at home, that they can go home safely to their families at home. I think that's again where it comes back to, is this new best friend that's creating a lot of excitement. And watch out, it's coming to a place near you soon.
So one last question before we make it real. You mentioned potential resistance from people in a sense that the technology might be threatening jobs. Is that a real thing? Because to me, the way that you explain it, if I think about the value of human life and the value that's the premium that obviously mines put on human safety, to me it must almost be a no-brainer.
Yeah, and I think we have to be conscious that in number one, in Africa, we are dealing with lots of legacy issues with employment. So that's the first acknowledgement. The thing about technology, not even necessarily spot, is that technology is accelerating the way we do business. Whether that's iPhone or you're not going to start banning phones on mine sites because it's making everyone more efficient. But I think that you have to acknowledge the realities. The thing about human plus machine, which is why I led with that, is that I truly believe that there is much more value in letting machines do repetitive, heavy, exposure-driven tasks. Again, one of our core principles in our business is family, like making sure people get home safe. Yes. That is the mind's, like you say, it's a shared ambition with us. And I think that capability or that focus is saying, well, why shouldn't we be doing that? I often ask the question to your question saying, would you want to send your child into an unsupported stope to get the data that the mine needs to be more efficient? And more often than not, unless it's been a really bad night, the guys say, no, I agree with you. I wouldn't want to send my children into an underground stope. So I think we're evolving, and I think it has to be, it is a discussion. And I think that you have to acknowledge it. But I think there are lots of smart ways, like I think the way that we talk about time on the shelf, where everyone benefits. And I think when we're marginalizing people, that's when there's issues. I think when we in an inclusive environment and we start the engagement early on, and we do this with all our technology, we sell connectivity for underground mines, we sell surface drones where people are saying their eyes are on top of me. In every engagement, we do our best. We don't always win because it becomes emotional and sometimes around people's egos. But I think the thing is we always try. And I think this wave is of robotics, automation, and technology isn't going to go away because it's there for the right fundamental reasons. I think the way we adopt it and the way we adapt to them is the key. And that's what we're trying to get right whenever we do an implementation.
Okay, well, in that case, I won't make a comment about what's happening in Eastern Europe and maybe mounting a gun on top of Spot. But anyway, we can leave that one for a next discussion. So Jamie,
I thank you for that. Yeah.
so I was I like to sort of end the show by making things real. So, if people listen to this now, how do they find out if you can help them?
Yeah, that's no problem. I think we do our best to make sure that people know about us. The quickest way for us generally is via our webpage. So our webpage, www.dwykermining.africa.com.co.za, it all goes to the same place. We have a small page at the bottom. It says, do you have a burning platform? And you can enter your details and someone will get back to you around that. Also on LinkedIn, you can search me, Jamie van Square. We are active, highly, very active on LinkedIn. We find it a great platform to share what we're doing, how our clients are benefiting. So there's a lot of use cases there and on our website. On our partner's website, bostondynamics.com, if you go there, you'll see us as an integration partner, and you'll see a lot about what they're doing as a global initiatives. I think those are quite interesting to adapt. But and that's the Dwyker mining side of it, specifically focused around African mining. And then, excitingly, late last year, we also launched Deep Tech Solutions, which is a non-mining platform, but essentially borrowing a lot of what we've developed, tested, and R&D'd in the mining space for industrial clients. So deep-tech.io is that web page, and there we are looking at technology as a service. If people can't afford to buy Spot, how do we offer Spot in a way that they can access the benefits and the capabilities? And there it's more of a consultative space as well.
Okay, fantastic. I will definitely share those details on the Cliff Central and Catalytic LinkedIn stuff as well.
Cool.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was a great chat.
Thanks, Zachary. Always good. Looking forward to the next one. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Unbundled Boost, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to boost business in South Africa. Remember that you can listen to all of the episodes on the Cliff Central app or website. And for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And if you want to know more about Catalytic, please visit catalytic.co.za. CliffCentral.com